Now on Highland Radio, Destination Donegal. And in the first of this occasional series, we take the ferry to Aranmore Island.
Hello and welcome to the lovely island of Aranmore off the coast of Donegal. My name is Thomas Costello, born and reared here on Aranmore Island. Done my schooling here in Aranmore till I was 17. Decided schooling wasn't for me, so headed off to England like a lot of the rest of the lads to find fortune and fame in the tunnels. This last 2 years I've come back to Aranmore here to settle here for a while. It's nice to be at home too with your parents as they get a bit older in life. So I've set up my own business here. I'm presently a taxi driver here on Aranmore Island. It's going not too bad. Doing a bit of taxiing and island tours as well. I'm involved with a lot of local community stuff on the island here. One in particular would be the Aranmore Lifeboat, which I'm part of the crew of for a number of years now and very happy to be involved with such an organisation. And another one would be the Aranmore Ambulance Service, which I'm also a driver of that. So now, why not hop into me taxi here and we'll take a trip around the island and meet some of the lovely people and characters off the island, and who knows, we might even hear a song or two along the way. We're now going to meet a famous person here on the island that's been well known near and far, Philly Boyle, or as he'd be known more locally as Philly the Glen Boyle. He was the man that ran the hotel, the Glen Hotel here on the island for many a year, himself and his wife, and also played a big part in the electricity coming to Aranmore Island, himself and his father. He would have met and known a lot of famous people down through the years that came and would have stayed in the Glen Hotel.
My father came from a village called Scraggachoke. There was very little work on the island in them days, so he emigrated to America and he spent 17 years there. And he came back after 9 years and he bought the hotel, the Glen. It was just the landlord's home in them days. But the landlord had gone, it was belonged to some other English people called Maud's, so they were selling it. They were getting too old to be coming here, and he bought it for £600. It took him 9 years to make £600 and save it, of course, in them days, 1923. He had to go back to Mary to make more money then to fix it up, and 1927 he got a license and started a little small hotel. I was reared in the hotel. I had no brothers, no sisters. Unfortunate for me, but there you go. I had to do everything. And if there was anything wrong, I got blamed. So we had no police on the island. And you could stay open pretty late at night. In them days, salmon men used to come in at 7 in the morning after a hard night's fishing. And I'd have them in the morning, get a dread of the salt water thirst. Terry Waite, you heard of him? The guy that was kidnapped out in Lebanon, he spent a week here. He was here for a week, as far as I can remember now. It's a long time ago. Gavin Duffy, Justice Gavin Duffy. He was one of the boys that signed the treaty in 1922. He spent a month here in front of his daughter, just writing and going around getting stories off people. Yeah, she was a bit of a historian, you know. She was a lovely man too, beautiful, you know, very nice. Easy to speak to, you know, no way posher. And that's the first ride ever I got in a car, was with him, up to Glenties and back. I thought didn't know there was a place out there at all. I was never left there even much. We used to run a ferry out in Edinburgh, the half-deckers just, you know. And of course, we took in the cars and across the side of the boat, just sling them on. And it was dangerous work. We never capsized. I'm still here. 1954, Dr. McLaughlin, he came on holidays to Aranmore, so My father was explaining to him how hard it was to work without electricity, you know, especially in a hotel. It was candles we used in the bedrooms in them days, you know, which was very dangerous for the weak children and stuff like that. So we're glad to get rid of that. Within 6 months, Dr. McGovern, he pulled some cord somewhere and he got it all arranged that we'd have the electricity within a year or two. And we did. We had it in 1955, 56, I can't remember now. My father and I laid the cables, three cables. It was a German company that supplied the cables. Siemens of Germany. They were there, their own bosses were there to inspect the work we were doing, that it was done right, you know, properly. So we were done fine. We laid it all in 2 days. Submarine cables, they called them in them days. Three cables. I worked for 29 years for them, looking after the transformers, collecting the money and reading the meters. I'm 87 years of age and retired now. I'm enjoying it, sure I'm enjoying it, but I'm still working, strimming and working with the lawnmower and what have you, you know. I'm lucky I've got a lot of years, you know, so it's not everyone lives to the coming up in the 90s, but I think I have another few years left in me, so I'll make the best of it.
My name is Derek Conlon. I'm known as Derek John here on the island. I was born in London. I moved back here when I was about 13. My parents moved back to look after my grandmother. I suppose she wasn't well at the time. I was at school here till I was about 17, 18, and then I went away over to England. I worked in the tunnels for about 15, 20 years. I was down in the Channel Tunnel and down in various tunnels all around England. I had three kids and decided to move back here because London wasn't the place I wanted to rear my kids, and I've been back here now about 7 years. The VEC were in teaching the children the boron, the fiddle, the accordion and the guitar, the whistle, all that. I suppose they were all about 10, 11 maybe. I was 36 when I started. It was a bit scary at first going in, like, but we had a laugh then. I was just another pupil at the end of the day. But you're never too old to learn, so they say. I learned to play the fiddle then, and I got that, I suppose, from my grandfather. He played a lot. He was well known around the island as a fiddler and a musician. He was known as Cundy Cook. He was Cundy O'Donnell. But he got that name because he used to be in the tunnels and all over in England, and when the men would come over, he would take them in and cook for them. And he would always welcome them in, and that's how he got his name as Cook, as far as I know anyway. So just like my grandfather, I suppose now I've followed in his footsteps and I'm playing around the bars and that. We get asked to open at a lot of other events like the festivals, and there's a 5K run tomorrow. Like, we play a bit for that in the barbecue the last day. We would play a few tunes for that. But usually we're down around Thomas Vauban's pub. He's our manager at the moment and we're his resident musicians. So that's the crack. When I say we, I'm talking about Paddy Gallagher here and also Joe Eugene. Paddy would be on the accordion and Joe would be on the accordion and the whistle, and also he would play banjo, mandolin as well. He's very talented, and I would play the fiddle.
My name is Noin Muldowney, or Noiní Muldowney, I prefer to be known as an Irish. I'm working in the co-op, I'm the banister or the manager of the co-op. Growing up in Arranmore was a lovely experience. We would have rarely left the island as children, and if you did leave the island, you wouldn't be able to sleep the night before. You know, thinking about it, the boat journey, getting the minibus up to Dunloe, and, you know, spending the day in Dunloe, it would be a big treat. You'd get ice cream, you would get chips, something that we didn't have in Arranmore. I remember going to Gidore as a child. I was always of the opinion that we had our own country, that we were a country in ourselves. We used to go to the shops in Gidore every day. And I remember one day noticing the tricolour hanging outside a gift shop. I think it was Cormac's, they used to call it. It was on the corner. And I was wondering, why did they have the Arranmore flag in Gidore, and the sense of pride that I had. I was so proud that people out there, you know, so far from home, had known about our country, and we're hanging our flag, and the sense of pride when I saw the flag. But that was, of course, when I didn't know any different. Arnmore Co-op, now Corcommon Eilean Mór, as it's known, is a community development co-op founded in 1976. Initially, when the co-op was founded, it was to start a group water scheme on the island. We have fresh water on the island, we have seven lakes, but our main water supply comes from Lochawinney, which is a very large lake and to the north of the island, and we have our own treatment works in here for the water. A lot of the islands around us wouldn't have had their own supply of fresh water, and I think it was a major factor for Arnmore. Then a couple of years later, I suppose, when the management committee had achieved what it was that they set out to do, they turned their attention to other things that the island required. They opened the builder provider store, an agricultural store at that time, and that store was very successful and still is. It operates on a shareholder basis. The profits of the co-op are used to improve services on the island. In the early 80s, the co-op was very, very active in the provision of a ferry service for the island. We have an 8-unit holiday home the co-op owns. Our work in the Culture Centre is ongoing. We have an exhibition at the moment of the Arnmore disaster, which happened 75 years ago. It was a very, very tragic event in the history of the island. 19 people lost their lives when they were coming home from the Tatihokan in Scotland in November. I suppose they would have been coming home for the Christmas season. Since the 1970s, there has been a serious decline in the fishing in Arnmore. Nowadays, there are very, very few fishing. Of course, there's a ban on the salmon fishing. And as far as the future is concerned for the fishermen, it does look a bit bleak. And then, of course, you're trying to think, well, what is a community like ours going to do? And I think tourism is probably where the future for a lot of the islands does lie. Tourism, I think, is something that can be developed and certainly is not developed in Arnmore. There are very good ferry services to and from the island. The accommodation has improved. We have very good accommodation here now. And we will be looking to improve services for tourists in the future.
We're now going to pop into Early's Bar here, owned and run by a very good friend of mine, Jerry Early. I'm sure if we're lucky enough, he might do a song or two for us on the guitar.
My name is Jerry Early. I'm the owner. Myself and my wife Patricia were the owners of Early's Bar in Arnmore, one of the landmark pubs, I suppose, on the island. We just celebrated 20 years in business, gone last Christmas. It's been in the family for 44, 45 years. Thank God it's raised us all, and we're still never making a fortune, but we're keeping going as best we can. Arnmore finds a way around recessions. Now and again, to get the guitar, and if I get a few bodies in that's looking for a bit of noise, I'll rattle up a few songs for them and try and keep them happy. Should we keep them happy anyway? It's not hard to keep our more people happy. My father and his generation would have worked up in the hydro dams up in the north of Scotland, and this song would have originated from that area. It's actually a love song. It would have been a song that they would have taken back from the north of Scotland, and it was handed down to me, and hopefully that these are the kind of songs, even though it's a Scottish song, it would have a very special bond or strong bond to the people when they were away from home, that, you know, maybe in their own way take them back to the island. It's a song called the Loch Tay Boat Song.
I've done my work of day, and I row my boat away down the waters of Loch Tay. As the evening light is fading, and I look upon Benlliure's, as the autumn glory glows, and I think on two bright eyes and the melting mouth below. Me and Ruth, hair, as more glamour I declare than all the tresses red, Twinkling and Aberfeldy, maybe not brown, white or gold, maybe blacker than her eyes are like the gleam of the sunlight. light o'er the stream, and the song a fairy sings seems like song she sings at Malkin. But my heart is full of woe. Last night she bade me go, and the tears begin to flow as I sing her ear-o. I've done my work of day, and I row my boat away, doing the waters of Loch Tay, as the evening light is fading, and I look upon Ben Lears as the autumn glory glows, and the tears begin to flow as I sing Marie, as I sing Marie.